This program is part of the LiveAnew Radio Show series and is brought to you by the LiveAnew Broadcast Group.
We're going to help you look beyond money for a richer life, kind of share some experiences with you. My background was in finance. Later in life, moved toward positive psychology. We've got Terry Metcalf, who is a life coach. And we really talk about the things that connect beyond your checkbook. Very important part of your life is making sure your finances are in order. But what else? What else is out there that we need to look at? And that's what we talk about in this show. Today, in particular, we're going to talk about this whole concept. It's probably a word that's extremely overused, but it's framed up as wellness. Mm-hmm. Even work-life balance you hear a lot of in your company.
Right.
But the whole wellness industry, boy, that's a big one.
And I think you're going to hear a lot more about it, too, as healthcare becomes more and more prominent and things get pushed on us, we're going to start realizing that we have to take some preventive action on our own to...
You're going to have some government intervention that's going to help.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's going to... That, nothing like a little incentive, a little government intervention to give the incentive.
Right.
We like to think that at LiveAnew, the company that I founded, we talk about prosperity having three dimensions. It's having your financial affairs in order and having a plan for that. Having your social capital, the things you're good at, you have experience with, you enjoy doing, have a plan for that, be involved and engaged in that area. But also having the wellness side, you're making sure that you have a healthy lifestyle as well. So today we're going to focus a little more on that area. And I'm going to ask you guys, as we get started here, and before we do that, I'm going to throw the phone lines out there. We always like audience participation, listener participation. 314-969-9797. Give us a call today. We'd like to know if you have something that brings wellness to your life, that makes you feel stronger, better, can cope with work better, you can cope with life better, or if you've got an idea how balance, what you do to bring balance into your life. Maybe something you're trying right now. Maybe it's an exercise program. Maybe it's a mental process that you're using, might be a relationship building process. Hey, on this show, we like to share ideas because we like to share our social capital, share ideas so that, don't hold on to it. Let us all know if it's working, let us know about it so that we can all kind of grow this side outside of our finances, which sometimes it's hard for us to predict. What's our portfolio going to look like? But there's so much more to life, and that's really what we want to talk about.
Right.
I'm going to ask you guys, Terry, I'll start with you. What is wellness? JP, I'm going to start with you. Okay, I put you on the spot first.
Here you go, JP.
What does wellness mean to you, JP?
Well, see, it's kind of a broad term, especially when you say wellness. It's like there's various forms. There's your physical wellness. There's your mental wellness. There's, your interpersonal relationship, various degrees like that. And I guess what it would mean is basically to be healthy, both of mind and body, is basically how I would break it down. To be happy, all the way around, physically and emotionally and spiritually.
Good. Yep. Do you think if we did a Google search for wellness, what do you think we'd find?
You'd probably find like all kinds of medical stuff.
Vitamins, exercise programs.
It has a very big nutritional component and physical exercise component. But the truth is, it's a lot bigger and broader
than
that.
All right, hold on, Terry. I got to ask you officially. I got to tee up here.
Okay.
So, Terry Metcalf, what does wellness mean to you?
Well, it's a tough word to define, to put it in one thing, but I think you would it'd be best to try and grasp it as a process of becoming aware and a process of making choices that are going to give you a more successful existence. And that really then implies that you understand what your values are and understand what you want out of life. Because process means that improvement's always possible. Like if you want to, if it's finances, you can start now to make a change in your financial direction. And if it's your physical health, you can start now to make a change in doing it. If it's your relationships, you can start now to start making a change in those relationships. And aware means that we're constantly and continuously seeking more information about how we can improve. We never stop learning. We want to try and find out, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better dad? How can I, be better at work? How can I be a more valuable employee? And choices mean that we consider the variety of options available and select those that are going to give us the results that we're looking for, you know, that are going to take us in the direction or the journey that we want to move on. So success is determined by each individual, and it's relative to their values and their desires and their wants. You know, there's not one formula that's going to work. And I think at Live Anew, you know, you kind of get into that where you try to first figure out where you're at, where you want to be, and how do I get there? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of correlation going back to our speaker from last week, you know, talking from Edward Jones of finances. You know, it's like
Cal Neiman.
Cal Neiman. Where am I?
Put in a plug there for
that's
Cal
right.
Neiman. Right?
Where am I? Where do I want to be? You know, can I get there? Is it realistic? And if it's not, then you set some realistic goals. Mm-hmm. And then what do I got to do to get there?
Mm-hmm. Good. All right.
Well, are we close?
I think you guys are right on it. I think that, you know, most of what you see when you hear wellness, it just points right back toward nutritional programs, toward, if you ask a company, for instance, all of you out there, if your company has a wellness program, I encourage you to call. Let us know what your wellness program is about at your company. But most of them are somewhat myopically focused on fitness and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be great if we could create a complete well employee and a happier employee, a more engaged employee?
Absolutely.
We have fallen so short in our ability to define wellness. And maybe it's because that's where the money is. You know, maybe it's more than maybe. Maybe I'm naive there. But it just seems like there's so much more to wellness, and it's not that hard to expand our thought, our vision of what wellness could be, even from a company perspective. And so that they come back in, not thinking, hey, I've gone through this midlife, or I've heard now the big thing is the quarter life crisis.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
The quarter life? Yeah, now they've got the quarter life crisis. But, you know,
that's maybe, when student loans come due.
But maybe we could connect them. Maybe the company could help. You know, they don't have to connect into the company's values, but the company could help in their wellness initiatives to connect them into, you know, what is my purpose or purposes and my strengths, and they don't all have to be tied into how I do my job at work. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm happier outside of work as well, so I come back completely well as a person.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a big challenge here is, you know, people talk work-life balance, and really it's life balance. It's not work-life. It might be a career versus family. There's some, you know, you got to balance that. But really, you have to get your life in balance. So that does get back to who are you? What do you want? Who are you? You know, and what do you want? And what's your major, right, your major dominant purpose? What's driving you?
Well, don't you feel that, especially these days, that a lot of people's life and work are intertwined? They're taking their work home with them. They're taking their life situations to work with them, and so to find that balance would be really great.
Yeah, right. And that's why I'm saying you can't separate work from life. Mm-hmm. You know, it is just life. So you have to find this life balance that makes you more productive. You know, more productive as an employee, more productive as a. I hate to say that we're productive as a father, but that you know, I'm probably not using the right analogy there.
Right.
But a more engaged, let's say, use the word engaged instead of productive. Let's say you want to be a more engaged employee. You want to be a more engaged husband. You want to be a more engaged father.
Yeah, I know Kevin, our call screener, is always looking for that. He's always looking to find that balance.
Well, yeah, you know what? As a matter of fact, I talked to him. How was Halloween? Oh, I had a nice party, but had to be in here.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's always trying to find that balance. He's a complicated man.
Kevin, we're talking about you in here. It's all good. You know, one of the demographic groups that's probably moving us most to really consider what work-life balance is all about is Gen Y. It's the newer generation. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, I mean, they're saying, hey, I looked at what happened when my parents dedicated themselves just to work, right, primarily. Even though they said that wasn't their goal. None of us went out and said, I'm just dedicated to work. But inevitably, you know, the pendulum swung more heavily in one area. And they said, you know, that didn't turn out so well. And what else happened? You know, there was a lot of mistrust that's come out of corporate America. There's a lot of a lot of downsizing, which ends up in, you know, what's good for the employee about downsizing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, corporate America is taking a big beating right these days.
So. Yeah, so they're saying, hey, you know what? You're secondary to my life now. You're not what it used to be. We used to say, let's build our life around our work. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that was right, and don't get me wrong, but now they're saying, you better build my work around my life.
Well, it's being values-driven, you know. So at one time, and I'm going to talk in general terms here because I'm not trying to badmouth corporations, because I think they're good. And
it's easy to think that they're just all money.
They pay my bills.
That's not the point.
Exactly right.
But when the focus switched from taking care of the customer to just taking care of the shareholder, the profits, showing a return, then there was a value shift, you know, and then the value became more on the money. And pretty soon it was, you would look at it at an account and say, well, this is not... is this account really generating the profit I need to do? And they would just drop it, throw away. Rather than continue to invest in a direction, they would just change and move it, sell off a company, do this and it. And, you know, at General Electric, this is going back a long time ago, but when they first were starting in appliances, they said their major and most important product was the iron. Because when a housewife bought an iron mm-hmm. and it worked great, then she would probably buy a GE refrigerator and then a GE, and they would build up this product alliance. Well, and then eventually, see, they get away from that kind of thinking, and then what do? They sell off. They move past that. They're no longer an appliance company. They're a financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
They change, and they sell off the small appliance thing, and, you know, and where's the customer at in that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna kind of quote a little bit from a Wall Street Journal article recently. Actually, it wasn't that recent. It was about a year ago, but talks about this Gen Y, you know, the millennial generation. They refer to them as the trophy kids, you know. And you know why they say that? It's kind of interesting because it's kind of a metaphor, but we're at the stage now where if you play sports, everybody gets a trophy, right?
Yes, right. Yes.
Think about it. Everybody, you know, we're all getting a trophy.
Winners.
That's
there's,
right.
There's
That's
no
right.
Losers. There's score. There's no losers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's this article referred to them as the trophy kids. It says the trophy kids go to work. Interestingly enough, for the trophy kids, this generation's greatest expectations in a CareerBuilder.com survey, number one is they expect higher pay. Okay. Number two, they expect flexible work schedules. Number three, they expect a promotion within 1 year. And number four, they expect more vacation or personal time.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's going to be a tough... I think they're trailblazing some ideas that are going to be important for all of us as it relates to how we shape our association. But at the same time, that, you know, we got to make sure that we don't go too far with this. So we've got our challenges ahead. It's interesting, in the same article, they talk about one young blogger on the Zanga.com site. It says, what other options do they have, referring to corporate America? We're hardworking, and we utilize tools to get the job done, which is right. They mm-hmm. utilize tools a heck of a lot better than we ever did. But we don't want to work more than 40 hours a week, and we don't want to wear clothes that are uncomfortable. We want to be able to spice up the dull the workplace. We want to be able to listen to our iPods. And if corporate America doesn't like that, too bad.
So basically, yeah, work on my terms.
So we've got our work cut out for us, but I think you're starting to see some of it. Wellness is certainly out there. We're saying maybe we can expand the vision of what wellness could look like. Work-life balance is out there, but I think right now we're still using a kind of maybe almost an outdated model of how we approach these things.
So, yeah, it'd be great if people call in and share their things that they do to help find that balance, that wellness.
And any stories you might have in the workplace about how wellness or work-life balance comes into play.
Or things that you just described going on in somebody's work.
Let's talk about, you know, when we think about work-life balance, of course, the name work is in there. Terry, I think you hit on it that in life, it's really not work-life. It's just balance. It's life balance.
Life balance.
Yeah. But a lot of us know it as work-life balance. Let's talk about that a little bit further. And, you know, we all have goals in life. Are you a goal setter, Terry? You set goals?
I set goals. I'm probably weak at that. That's, you know, I mean, I probably make more commitments than I deliberately set goals and try and achieve and move towards a direction. Mm-hmm. I tend to make a commitment that kind of becomes a goal, but... I think that is a secret to developing clarity is to set a goal and to move towards it. It sort of brings things into focus. You know, it helps you to. But there again, you got to have a direction, know your values, your purpose, what you're trying to accomplish. You know, mm-hmm. it all implies that if you got goals that are conflicting, pulling you in different directions, mm-hmm. you're going to be pretty frustrated.
Yeah. JP, how about you? You a goal setter?
I'm an ideas man. I come up with ideas. They should be goals, mm-hmm. but I have a hard time necessarily reaching them all, yeah. you know, like that.
Yeah.
So I'm a procrastinator and I'm a busy guy. And so I come up with these ideas. And I'm like, oh, that should be a goal
yeah.
of mine. And then I just let it go by the wayside a lot of the time.
Yeah, so one of my favorite, and I'm not talking to you. I'm talking with you because I'm right there with you in a lot of ways. But I remember a friend of mine told me one time, he said, Terry says, you got to understand. He said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's the truth. You know, you might have good intentions and you want to set off. But until you really do deliberately, you know, become deliberate, and it becomes a living deliberately, yeah. living on yeah. purpose.
Being very focused.
Being focused.
And driven,
and driven. And that becomes a goal. Then I think you can move towards something, you can accomplish it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when we look at, and myself, I am somewhere in between as well. I'd say I'm not a huge goal setter. I have things in my mind, in my world that I'm constantly moving toward, but do I write down goals? I would say infrequently. You know, it's not a big driver of mine, but it is typically a sign of a successful person. Many successful people are very goal driven.
No doubt about yep. that. I think they did a study on the Harvard business graduate class. Interviewed him at the time, who in his class had goals, and then they went back 20 years later and interviewed the whole class again, and those that had written their goals down mm-hmm. actually achieved them.
That is true. I have found that where there's times when I do become focused and write down goals, I do tend to meet them more than I'm yeah. just, mm-hmm. I have this goal, I'll get around to it whenever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Writing it down is a connection between you and your inner yeah. self. And we have this innate desire to be true to ourselves. And so when we write it down and we pull it back out and we look at it again, it puts us back on track.
And that's you might say, well, why are we talking about goals here? When it comes to work-life balance, oftentimes we set goals for ourselves. And we need, you know, we like to talk here about how your social capital and how you use it is much like your investment capital. It needs to be diversified. It needs to be looked at. Plan for. That's what we do at Live Anew. Your goals are the same way. First off, you need to diversify your goals. Your goals can't just be, I want to be vice president of my company at XYZ time in life. I mean, there's basically several domains to goal setting. I'm going to talk about those in a second. But what happens oftentimes is either we don't diversify our goals, or if we do, we end up invariably focusing just, on a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have all these goals, but invariably we end up right back on the same ones, and they're the ones that get all of our attention. So to some extent, it's a curse of the goal, because goals can actually put blinders on us if we don't allow ourselves. If we're going to be a mm-hmm. goal setter, we can't have it halfway. We've got to set goals for all dimensions of our life. Otherwise,
you're talking about wellness now.
Yes,
because when you can set a goal
wellness.
And you really just go in one direction, you can become unbalanced.
Yes.
and that comes with a price. And pretty soon, your family life or your work life, depending on which direction you're moving in, those others are going to suffer.
Yeah.
So to have this balanced life, that gets back to the medicine wheel that we were looking at earlier, you know.
And I'd ask our listeners, how many of you have goals out there? And I think if you're a lot of you are honest with yourselves, you have goals for different dimensions of your life, but what's really getting your attention? And it's not just work. Sometimes it's my kids. I've seen a lot of situations where, quite frankly, you can spend too much time coddling your kids
mm-hmm.
and not growing yourself, your relationship, your husband, wife, what if you're married, whatever, outside of the family.
Well, and you're not always growing them, too. Sometimes they need to take the next tough step or the next easy step to, I'm using an example here at flag football yesterday there. Ian was really excited going out there, wanted to play, and we got there, and he wasn't feeling right. His stomach was bothering him, and he kind of didn't want to play. And And I'm thinking, well, are you really sick or are you just feeling nervous? And it was just kind of a nervous thing. I said, well, I think you need to go out there and play. You know, you came here, you're part of a team. You need to get out there and get in the game. And as soon as he got into the game, he started, it took him a while, but then he was right back there doing it and he felt great afterward. So it would have been easy to sympathize with him and say, oh, it's okay, we'll just sit out this here until you're feeling better. But sometimes
that might not have benefited him the most.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, for his growth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the same thing, we look at our passion. So we might say, okay, we get a little too wrapped around one thing. One of the easiest ways to figure out that that's not right is that, are we exercising a healthy percentage of the passions that we have in life? Are we exploring them? Are we uncovering those rocks? Or are they just out there as idle passions? You know, we have multiple passions. We can't all dive into all our passions at all stages of our life. We can, some stages we can be more involved than others, but we always need to recognize that these things, I believe, are clues to how we are intended to live our life.
Right.
How we were created.
Well, it gets back to the dream, you know, and when you get too far away from it, it tends to become more and more of a fantasy, something that you thought about doing once in your life, but now, you know, just situations have changed and you can't do that. You can't make that change.
So are you out of balance in such that how many of your passions are you able to look at and to exercise and to really be at least moving the needle along in your life? Because I think those are some, you know, a lot of people say, well, what is my direction? Where should I be? How do I live a good and, you know, healthy, happy life? I think our passions give us some clues as to how we take those stepping stones forward. Now, if our life is out of balance, that we're not even able to explore and to utilize our passions, then it tells us something's not quite right there.
I'd agree 100%. And there's a tool, it's called the Aboriginal Wheel, which is really just kind of looking at the circle and in its real general sense, it's broken down into four areas, you know, the physical, the spiritual, the mental, and the emotional. And that those are four general realms in our life. But when you start working with a person and you start realizing, well, okay, let's get a little bit more specific about you, you might want to think of that in five areas, you know, like your family, your faith, your finances, your fitness, and in your friends, you know, your social network. And if you worked from the center and drew little spokes out from those and labeled each one of them and numbered them 1 through 10 from the center out, and just rated yourself, you know, okay, well, with my family, am I 5? Am I with my friends, am I a 10? Or with my finances, am I a 2? You know, with my fitness, am I a 3? And when you draw a line around there, connect all those dots, the closer that is to a circle, the more balance you're going to have in your life. And that might give you an idea of like, oh, I can see I spend a lot of my effort on fitness to the point where I'm not paying any attention to my kids. Fitness can be a good thing. It's good for you, but it's not good for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So trying to get that balance, that passion worked mm-hmm. out. So that's a good tool to use in doing
yep.
that.
Yep, it sure is. How about purpose? You know, we talk about, the popular book, Purpose Driven Life. Mm-hmm. Are we here, do we have one purpose in life? What do you guys think?
No, I think that there's many purposes mm-hmm. throughout your life, and they change throughout your life.
Yeah, I think you have purposes at different times in your life, and it's mm-hmm. that's the challenge. And so, you know, like sometimes, I use that wheel's kind of a little bouncing. Okay, maybe the flat spot in my life right now is finances, and so right now my purpose is focused on finances. Mm-hmm. You know, or maybe the flat spot in my life is my marriage or my relationship. Maybe I need to focus on that. So I think our purpose is to grow and is to be filled in, you know, and as a Christian, you know, you see that too. It's to grow, to become more Christ-like, more of a complete, full person because we're made in His image, right? It's not just one thing.
How many people do you think are actually really focused on that as opposed to people just trying to get through each day, day to day, get up, go to work, take care of the family, take care of my responsibilities.
I think that's a big challenge, is we get wrapped up
huge,
in survival.
Yeah.
And
I think that's it. We're trying to just survive day by day. We're not thinking about some of these things that are important to think through, you know, and I hate to come back always to Live Anew. That's why I created Live Anew.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We spend all this time preparing a financial plan, which is important. We spend no time virtually preparing these types of things.
Right.
And we just assume they'll take care of themselves. And they have been shown to be the ones that's really going to determine whether we really live a good life, a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we created this.
You know, and JP, I would say that one of the reasons that we stay in that survival mode is we don't take the time to reflect and really look at how out of balance we are.
And that's true. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this and I'm part of this conversation in the show. This is the first I'm really thinking